Dear congregation, we read in Psalm 110, verse 3, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The rebellious are made willing. Grace makes one willing to follow the Lord. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You recall Matthew, he lived such a rebellious life as a tax collector. However, the Lord came to him, and on a certain day he spake effectually to him those words, Follow me. And Matthew was made willing through the grace of God, and he rose up and followed the Lord. Dear brethren, because of God's grace, we know what it is to serve the Lord. We know what it is to be willing and to follow him. Now, after the death of Moses, presented to us in this chapter, the Lord spake unto Joshua. Joshua is the appointed one to succeed Moses. And so now the Lord comes to encourage and strengthen him for the work that was before him. We note these words here. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sore of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Words of encouragement come his way. We note in verse 5 that wonderful promise. What a help this was to Joshua. Not only on this day, but in the future. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Joshua considers the greatness of the work, but oh, what a comfort in this wonderful promise that the Lord was with him, would not fail him, and be with him all his days. Now we have words here of exhortation and encouragement from verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Be strong and of a good courage. How we need these words to be spoken to us so often. And right at the outset of this year, may we take these words to heart. May we be very courageous as we serve the Lord. Grace makes us willing. May God's grace strengthen us further, that we might be very courageous in these days. There is many a battle we must face. There is many a valley we must enter. Many a storm we must endure. Oh, to be very courageous. We feel our weakness. How often we feel our weakness. Yet the Lord is able to help us and strengthen us, that we can be very courageous. So then we have these words of exhortation and encouragement. From verse 10, Joshua prepares the people in general to cross the Jordan. And then particularly if we were to read certain words from verse 12, there are further directions to certain tribes, how they were to go over Jordan and assist their brethren. If they did, as we see from Numbers 32, their portion would be on this side of Jordan. They were to go over and assist their brethren so that they would have a portion on this side. And so we have particular words to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Certain directions. And as they were directed and exhorted, Joshua reminds them of what Moses has said. Now come with me to verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. There's the response. Well, at the beginning of this year, may we echo those words and may we be in full submission. And that is the title of this sermon. Full submission. Well, as we come to these words in verse 16, I'd like us to consider two things, and we will be brief tonight. Firstly, the trusted commander, and then secondly, the willing people. The trusted commander, and then secondly, the willing people. Verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go." And we note those words. Firstly, "we will do," and then secondly, "we will go." They're listening, and they will obey their commander, Joshua. Well, let's consider first of all then the trusted commander. Now just go back with me to the first verse. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." We think firstly of Joshua. He was the appointed one. One who was set aside by the Lord, as previously Moses had set him aside. Now just go back to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy and verse 9. "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." He was abundantly qualified for the work. We're told in verse 9 of chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, he was full of the spirit of wisdom. The Lord had so helped him and so qualified him for the work. Well, here in this chapter we have the call and the commissioning of Joshua right at the commencement of his work. What a work he had before him. And he could go forward knowing the Lord's blessing and knowing that the Lord would assist him and be with him. Well, afterwards, after the Lord has spoken unto Joshua, we see from verse 10 that Joshua exercises his God-given authority. The Lord has called him, the Lord has encouraged him and directed him. Now the work is before him. And he commences the work. Verse 10. "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying," the Lord had called, the Lord had promised, and he got down to work straight away. He did not delay. No, Joshua went forth and served the Lord. And we see that he exercised his God-given authority. He was a leader. He was a commander of the people. And so he commanded the officers of the people. He was to govern them, lead them. He was to lead them over Jordan. He was not a perfect man, but he was a trusted man. People respected him. Just go back to chapter 34 of Deuteronomy in verse 9. And what do we read at the end of the verse? "And the children of Israel hearkened unto him." They listened. They hearkened. He was a trusted man. He knew such wisdom, and he wisely led the people. And they would bear evidence of his wisdom, and they would again and again trust him. Well, let's think then of the trusted commander, Joshua. How we need such men in the church today. Be thankful for faithful men, and pray the Lord would raise up many more in these days. Many a man is now reaching the latter time of his life. We need men like Joshua to be raised up as men like Moses pass on. We think of God's faithful servant Moses. He now had passed on. The Lord raised up Joshua. How we need many more Joshuas to be raised up in coming years as faithful men pass on to glory. He's the trusted commander who had been raised up by the Lord. And how we need such today. Men who are faithful. Let's consider this firstly. A faithful man. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, wrote, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It was to be committed unto faithful men. Men like Joshua, men like Paul, like Timothy, and others. Faithful men. And a trusted commander will be a faithful man. Faithful to the Lord and faithful to his people. But let's consider secondly, men who will obey the Lord. Consider Joshua was exhorted and commanded by the Lord to go forth and to observe the law which Moses had been given. Just note that in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And Joshua would seek to obey the Lord. And a trusted commander will be one who will seek to obey the Lord. Remember what Christ said just before he left this world. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He commanded them, and they were to go forth in his absence, obeying him. And then thirdly here, as we think of a trusted commander, Joshua, men who evidently have the Lord with them. Men who evidently have the Lord with them. If people can see that the Lord is with the faithful man, they will trust him. Just go with me to verse 9. Come with me to verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. There comes the promise and the encouragement. Joshua commences his work, and the people knew it, that the Lord was with him. A trusted commander will be one who bears evidence that the Lord is with them. Well, we thought of Joshua, and we think of faithful men. But let's consider Joshua as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua means Jehovah saves, or Jehovah is salvation. And Jesus means Jehovah saves, Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus is of Hebrew origin. It comes from the name Joshua. And we see even in the name that Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's now just focus on him. Our Joshua. The Lord Jesus Christ. The trusted commander. The perfect commander. The faithful one. In Hebrews we read these words, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Faithful. Who was faithful to him that appointed him. The faithful leader. The faithful mediator. He was designated, set aside as mediator. He was appointed the head and king of the church. Joshua was appointed. Our blessed mediator was appointed. And so we read in Isaiah 42 verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. My servant, mine elect, the one appointed. We thought of Joshua how he was abundantly qualified for the work. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ. How abundantly qualified for the work he had to do. You recall those words in Acts 10 verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was anointed. He was so supported, qualified. Abundantly qualified for the work. And so we read in Isaiah 11 verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So qualified. Dear brethren, consider him tonight. He is our trusted commander. He leads us forth as individuals and as a people and as the church as a whole. We can trust him. Think here, they were to cross the River Jordan and there were battles to face. Our Lord is our commander. We have battles to face. We can trust him. He is faithful. He's so qualified to lead us. He's so blessed and he is so able to help us. He leads us forth. In Psalm 45 verse 3 we read, "Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall upon thee." Dear brethren, take comfort. He rides prosperously. We have one out front leading us. He leads the army. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power," or in the day of the army. We think they have the power as the army. In the day of the army, he leads his people forth. And we follow him. He's the head. In Colossians 1 verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." He's the head. Do not we bow before him. We submit to him, as we shall note in a moment. He is the one. He leads us. Not a man, but Christ Jesus. He is the trusted commander who has the authority. What did he say just before he left this world in view of his governing work? "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power. As God, he had all power. But here, in view of his governing work, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And how Christ sits on the throne and he governs. He rules over the church. He has power and authority for governing. We are to bow to him. We are to gladly bow to him. He has the rule, not some man. Remember again those words, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." He has the rule. It's his word. In every area of our lives, the king has the final say. In every area of the church, it is his word we are to consider. When we come to worship, he has regulated worship. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." You know, every church should adhere to the regulative principle without any problem. Because the Lord, who is the King, it is his law. We must be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And if he did not say it, it means he did not want us to do it. He is the trusted commander, we're to trust him. He has such wisdom in the governing of the church, in the leading of us. You think again of those words, "All things work together for good." All things, even the dark providences, work together for good, because we consider the wisdom of God. It is his most holy and wise providence. And Christ has such wisdom for governing, wisdom for leading. He so advises, he is the counsellor. Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counsellor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And how we as the Lord's people need to be reminded of his titles often. He's wonderful, there's no one like him. He's the counsellor. Or we go to him for the final word, because his word is true. He so advises. He's the mighty God. He's able to support the church. The everlasting Father, how he tenderly cares for the church. He is the Prince of Peace. He brings such peace to the people of God. Oh, consider he is the counselor. Such wisdom to govern his people. And what advice he has given to us in his word. What advice he gives to ministers. What advice he gives to churches as a whole. In wisdom, He leads his people. He is the trusted commander who so cares and so treats his subjects well. Joshua was respected. Do not we respect our commander? We've never been disappointed in him. If anybody has murmured against the Lord, you must get down on your knees before you go to bed tonight and ask him to forgive you. I mean it. You cannot expect blessing if you murmur against Christ in the way you live, because we're not disappointed in him, are we? He's treated us well. And he does not put on us more than we ever could hope to bear. Come unto me, O ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. How he treats us well. Such a trusted commander. Well, as we think of him tonight, where are you? You may say, what do I mean? Because I'm here. Where are you? Are you at the feet of the commander tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ? You must answer that before Christ. Where are you? Well, as we close, secondly, we'll be very brief here. The willing people. The willing people. Come with me to verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Joshua spoken to them, particularly to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, verse 12. And they immediately respond. How quickly do we respond? At times we may be a little slow to respond. Often I used to be told to tidy my room. And a few hours later, my mother would go in and see that I hadn't tidied my room. She'd come out, have you tidied your room? How quickly do we respond to Christ? You know, this is how it ought to be. When we hear the word of the King, we should in submission fall down straight away and show to him our willingness to obey. It's not always like that, is it? But when we hear the commander speak, we should immediately respond, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go, without any hesitation. There can be hesitations. Is it really for me, you may say to the Lord? There shouldn't be any hesitations. But there is at times. He knows our flesh. Just note these words here in closing. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Let me ask you again, where are you tonight? You recall Mary, she was found at the feet of Jesus listening. Martha was busy, but Mary was at the feet of Jesus. Are you at the feet of Jesus in a spiritual way at this very moment? Or are you at some distance? It might be that you're, as it were, half there. Yes, I'm listening a little, but in that area of my life, I can't listen. It would mean a change in my life. And I just don't want to change. Are we wholeheartedly at the feet of Jesus? Is there some distance? Do you need to pray, restore my soul, draw me nearer? Does the distance need closing? Only you can answer that before the Lord. Be honest with the Lord now. Does the distance need closing? Because you're still hesitant. You're still not fully surrendering in every area of your life. You know it in your heart. You can't quickly say, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Do we need to pray, close the distance, make me willing? Grace has made me willing. But oh, I need to get down on my knees, that I might quickly respond. Are we listening? My mum used to say to me often, Aaron, are you listening? Because she knew at times I wasn't listening. The Lord knows. The Lord knows if we're listening. You know, you may be listening to this sermon, but the Lord knows if you're listening to him. There's a difference, isn't there? I recall at school one occasion, the head teacher said to us all in the assembly, I can make you be quiet, but I can't make you listen. The Lord knows if we're listening. What a wonderful thing to listen to the trusted commander who has such an abundance of wisdom, who leads his people in the right way, who has such wisdom to lead them through the forests and the valleys. Why wouldn't we want to trust him in everything and listen? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. Why do we want to listen to ourselves at times? Do sometimes we give the appearance that we think we know best? Oh, we must submit to the Lord. Oh, we must come to the word praying, Lord, I am listening. I will do and I will follow. I will obey thy word. Note these words here again. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Individuals were speaking it. And we got to be alone before the Lord. Spreading it before the Lord. Lord, I will obey. Forgive me where I failed thee. Forgive me where I've sinned against thee. Lord, it is my desire to obey thee. Turn my feet unto thy testimonies. Give me such an enlarged heart to follow thy word. For it is my great desire to obey. You know, the older I get, the more I see I need to be doing in keeping the commandments. The more I see I need to be doing in following the Lord. There's so much more to learn, isn't it? Isn't there? Oh, to be saying more often to the Lord, I will do. But then collectively, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Individuals, yes, but collectively, a people together. And so we must come together and say, we will do. Sometimes in services, there may be one or two, they're not joining in. They're there, but they're not joining in. They just can't say it with other people. The word comes to them, it hits them. I just can't do that. Others are saying yes, but I can't say yes. We need to unitedly say, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And then note those words in closing. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. We will go. We'll obey and we'll follow. Remember those words in Isaiah chapter 6. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, though this have touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See Isaiah, he felt his sin. If the Lord's going to use someone, they will first feel their own sin. Their own unworthiness. What can they really do for the Lord? The Lord will impress that upon them, but then he'll comfort them. And he'll call them. What are we saying? Here am I. Send me. Send me back into that battlefield in the workplace. Back into that battlefield in the community. Send me. Send me whithersoever thou sendest me. Here's the people. They've heard the trusted commander, Joshua, and they're in full surrender. We hear again the words of the Lord. Are we in full surrender? The Lord knows our own hearts. Is there something you're struggling with at this present time? Some besetting sin. Some secret sin. Put it to one side and be in full surrender. We know our own hearts. And the Lord knows our hearts. Is there something that's coming in the way? Get down on your knees in full surrender. As you view the future, whatever the future brings, the difficulties we may face, the places we may go, let it be full surrender. One of old wrote, long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way. Teach me, Lord, and I will follow. Show me where to go, and I will go. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Full surrender. We need to examine our own hearts. And we really need to be honest with our own hearts. Are we not surrendering in some area to the Lord? It's to be full surrender. That's what we see here. That was the great desire of the people. That ought to be the desire of our hearts. Yes, they failed, and so will we. But again and again, we must be brought back to this point where we show to the Lord our great desire. It is full surrender to thee, Lord. How often do we show that to the Lord? How often? Do we really say, Lord, it is full surrender to thee? Help me, Lord. Eric Liddell died out in China. And his last words were either, it is surrender, or as one believes, it is complete surrender. He looked back, and now in his dying hour, it was complete surrender. That's how we are to live the Christian life. We need to put the Lord first. And we need to get ourselves to the back of the queue and fall down at the feet of Jesus. Full and complete surrender. And dear brethren, what a place to be at the feet of Jesus. He's the one that leads us. He will safely lead us through the fords and the valleys. He has such wisdom and expertise to lead us. Oh, do not we want to be at his feet in full surrender. Whatever comes our way, to be there, following the Saviour. Be assured of this. If you're at his feet in full surrender, he will not fail you. He'll never fail you, but you'll be comforted. He will never fail you. All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. We will go, Lord. We will do and we will go. And let's get a little nearer now. In closing, I want to ask you this as pastor. Will you with joy before the King say these words? Not with some hesitation, but with joy. We should be able to, with joy, say these words. Why? Because he makes no mistakes. And he does all things well. He can make the crooked straight and the rough places plain. Lord, I will gladly surrender all to thee.